Here's the Maaseh from the Alter Rebbe now. A long time ago, there lived a woman, and she got married to her husband. And let's say his name was Yankel. It doesn't say in the name what in the story what his name was. And one day, Yankel doesn't come home, and his wife does not know where he is. Where's Yankel? 2 days go by, 3 days go by, a few weeks go by. She doesn't know where he is. Where did my husband go? Did he, chas v'shalom, get into an accident? Did he die? Did he get kidnapped, chas v'shalom? Did maybe goyim steal him away? I don't know where he is. What could be? Like I told you, weeks went by, and the woman asked all of her friends, where is my husband? And people looked for him all over the place, and nobody saw where he went. Well, Kindalach, a terrible thing. Finally, they told the woman, go to the Alter Rebbe, the great tzaddik of that time, the Alter Rebbe, and he will maybe be able to help you. He will for sure be able to help you, because he's a halakha tzaddik with Ruach HaKadosh, and Hashem for sure knows where he is, and the Alter Rebbe is close to Hashem, so for sure, the Alter Rebbe will be able to help. So the woman went to the Alter Rebbe, and she cried, my husband Yankel, I haven't seen him for days and weeks. I don't know where he is, I'm so worried. I don't know what happened, what should I do? And the Alter Rebbe thought for a while, he put his head down like this to think, and he told the woman, this is what you should do, but you have to be very strong and don't give up. It's not going to be easy for you. Travel to the town of Vilna. There was a town, a big city called Vilna. And over there, go to the leader of Vilna, and he's called the Parnas Chaydish. He takes care of the Jewish people over there. Now there's also a Rav, but the Parnas Chaydish takes care of Tztaka, and takes care of the shul, and schools, and different things. And he's a big leader over there. And go to his house, and tell him that you want your husband back. Tell him that the Alter Rebbe told you to come here, and you want your husband, and you want him to help you to find your husband. But no matter what happens, don't give up, and Hashem will help, you'll get your husband back. And the woman said thank you to the Alter Rebbe, and she goes back to her family, and she tells her family what the Alter Rebbe said. And now they told her, you should know that living in Vilna are misnagdim. Now in those days there were Hasidim and Misnagdim. Hasidim were people that were learning Hasidus, and they were from the Alter Rebbe or from the Talmidei HaBaal Shem Tov, they learned Hasidus. Then Kinalaf, there was other Jews that were against the Hasidim, and they did not want to learn Hasidus, and they did not want their kids to learn Hasidus. And Chas v'Shalom, they even made trouble for the Hasidim, and they even, Chas v'Shalom, sometimes even made fights or made fun. And it's a very sad thing that there had to be fighting amongst Jews. But this is what happened. And the main place, the biggest place, and the strongest place, and where there was the most misnagdim, you know where it was? In Vilna. Over in Vilna was the most misnagdim. And now she has to go to Vilna, a place where they did not like Hasidim. They were against Hasidim. And she's got to go to the Parnas Chaydish and say that the Alter Rebbe, the leader of the Hasidim, the Chabad Hasidim, a Hasidish Rebbe, sent her to ask her husband back. This is not going to be easy. Because the minute they hear the name of the Alter Rebbe, they don't want to do anything for the Alter Rebbe. It used to be in those days, Kinalach, that if they caught their kids, if a boy came home from yeshiva and they saw that he had Tanya, or that he learned Chassidus, they would get in big trouble from their parents. Now, of course, we know it's a big mitzvah. But the parents in Vilna, they did not want their kids to learn Chassidus or go to the Chassidim of the Alter Rebbe because they were misnagd. And so can Allah, the woman traveled to Vilna because she wants her husband back. She wants to know what happened to him. And she goes to the house. She finds out where the Parnas Chaydish, the leader of the Jewish community of Vilna, is. And his name was Reb Meir Rafoils. And she goes to the house and she knocks on the door. And the servant comes to the door. And she says she must see the Parnas Chaydish, Reb Meir Rafoils. She must see him right now. It's a very big emergency. They let her in, and Reb Meir Rafoils comes down, and she starts to cry, and she says, "The Alter Rebbe sent me to get my husband back. Give me my husband back. Please help me." The man said, "What? I should give your husband back? What do I know from your husband? I don't even know who he is. Where do you come from?" "I come from far away from the town of the Alter Rebbe, and my husband disappeared, and he sent me here that you should help me get him back." And Reb Meir Rafoils said, "The Alter Rebbe, the leader of the Chassidim, he sent you here? I never heard of your husband. I don't know who he is. I can't help you. I never even know who he is. All I know," she said, "his name is Yankel. I mean, there's a lot of Yankels, but I don't know your husband. What does he look like?" "Well, he's got dark hair, he's tall," and she described him, and he didn't know. And he went to shul, and he told people in shul what happened, that the leader of the Chassidim sent this woman, and it's Meshuggah. He doesn't know what to do. He never heard of her husband. And people started talking against the Alter Rebbe, but what is he doing, making such a thing? And every single day she came back to his house, knocking on the door, crying, "Help me get my husband Yankel! Help me get my husband Yankel!" And the people of Vilna thought that she was a Meshuggene. And when she walked in the street, they would say, "There's the Meshuggene lady that came from the Alter Rebbe." And they would talk Chas Shalom against the Alter Rebbe, that he sends the woman on something what doesn't make any sense at all. And this went on for days and weeks, and the woman didn't give up, because Alter Rebbe said, "Don't give up till you get your husband back." One night, Reb Meir Rafoils is in his house learning Torah, and there's a knock on the door. Reb Meir says, "I wonder who's there." No, Reb Meir Rafoils' house. And he says, "I wonder who's here so late at night. I guess it must be important." And he says, "Who's there?" "The chief of police." "Oh, the chief of police." Opens the door. The chief of police is there, dressed up in his special uniform with his badges and his medals and his hat. He says, "Rabbi, in the police station, right now they brought in a wagon of prisoners, and they're transferring these prisoners to a big jail far up in Siberia, where they're going to have to work in the ice and the snow, and they'll probably be up there for the rest of their life till they die, because they're going to be starving and working from day to night in the snow. And some of these prisoners are Jews. Now, Rabbi, if you're willing to pay 1,000 rubles for every Jew, and you give the money to the police station, we'll give you the Jewish prisoners and let them go free. Now, Kinalach, is it worth it to help get a Jew out of jail for 1,000 rubles?
No.
Of course. Because it could be that these Jews were caught and put in jail by the Goyim for no reason. And it could be their families don't even know they're in jail. They used to do all kinds of mean things in those days. So what is the mitzvah of getting a Jew out of jail by the Goyim called? Does anybody know? Pidyon Shvuim. And it's one of the biggest, if not the biggest mitzvahs, to collect money, to get the Jews out of jail. And like I told you, Reb Meir Feils was in charge of the tzedakah, and he brought a whole bunch of money for the tzedakah, because this is a big tzedakah to have Pidyon Shvuim. And he went to the police station, and there was a few Jews there with the Goyish prisoners. And he asked the first one his name. He saw that he was a tall man with dark hair. He says, "My name is Yankel, and I come from the town of the Alter Rebbe, and I was taken away prisoner by some goyim that caught me, and I haven't seen my family for months, and they locked me in a jail, and I wasn't able to send a letter or tell anybody where I was. My wife doesn't even know where I was. I'm so worried." All of a sudden, Reb Meir Feils starts to shake and gets goose pimples, because this is the woman's husband who comes every day to his house. And all of a sudden, he meets him in the jail. And right away, he thinks the Alter Rebbe knew with Ruach HaKodesh that he would be able to find the woman's husband. Right away, he pays the money, and he takes Yankel and the other prisoners out of the jail to his house and feeds them a delicious kosher meal and lets them clean themselves up and gives them new clothes. And the next morning, the Meshuggah lady that everybody thought she was the Meshuggah comes to the house. "Please, the Alter Rebbe sent me for my husband Yankel, that you should be able to help, please." And Reb Meir Feils says, "Come right in." And all of a sudden she sees, "Yankel, you're here in the house, my husband." And Baruch Hashem, they got together again, and he went home. But Reb Meir Feils did not tell anybody about what happened, because he wasn't sure, was the Alter Rebbe really with Ruach HaKodesh doing this, or maybe the Alter Rebbe and all the Hasidim are really no good? That's what they thought. They thought, Chas V'Shalom, they thought that the Hasidim were no good. He didn't want to admit that this was Ruach HaKodesh and a big ness. So he kept quiet. And all the people of Vilna used to speak about the Meshuggah lady, but he knew deep down inside she wasn't Meshuggah, and the Alter Rebbe was a big tzaddik. But if he would go around telling people that, they wouldn't believe him. So he kept quiet. Well, Kindlach, Reb Meir Feils almost forgot about this woman, because a few days went by, and a few weeks went by, and a few months went by, until a second story happened. Now, there's two stories together. Now we're going from the first story to the second story. Who's ready for the second story, which is really a hemshech, a continuation of the first story? Okay. Kindlach, one day, one of Reb Meir Feils' friends comes to his house, and he's crying. Reb Meir, I'm in such trouble. Now let's call this man's name Reb Chaim. Okay, the story doesn't say what his name was. Let's call him Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim is a good friend of Reb Meir Feils. "Reb Meir, I'm in big trouble. The police, they want to put me in jail. They want to take away my house and my money, and they want me to go to jail. They're blaming me for doing something against the king, and I didn't do it. I have some workers, some Goyish workers that did it, and they're making a big lie about me that I was stealing from the king, and I didn't do it. What am I going to do?" Well, Reb Meir Feils said, "I'm not sure. We'll have to think about it. We'll have to see." Well, Kindlach, so Reb Meir says to Reb Chaim, "You know what? It's almost Shabbos, and you shouldn't be sad on Shabbos. So after Shabbos, come back, and either Moitzi Shabbos or Sunday morning, and we'll talk it over. But right now, for Shabbos, just don't think about it too much. Davis is health." Okay, so Reb Chaim went home and he starts getting ready for Shabbos. And that night in shul, there was a few orchim that nobody ever saw before, And, of course, Yidden have the mitzvah of Haknasas Orachim. And Reb Chaim went over to one of the strangers in the shul davening, and he said, "Excuse me, would you like to come to eat by me for Shabbos?" And the man said, "Okay, thank you very much." Now, Reb Chaim looked at this man, and he looked like a Talmud Chacham. So he wanted to have a nice Erech and talk Torah by the table. So he was very happy, and he took the Erech home with him, and they were eating together, and they were talking about Gemara and Chumash and the Parsha. And all of a sudden, after the fish, while the Reb Chaim's wife was clearing the table, and the Erech is sitting there, all of a sudden, Reb Chaim puts his hand over his head, he goes, "Oyvei, ah, oyvei." Now the Erech sees something is wrong. All of a sudden he says, "Oyvei," like he doesn't feel good. He says, "What's wrong? You don't feel good?" He says, "No, oh, never mind, nothing." And they ate the chicken soup. After the chicken soup, Reb Chaim goes like this, "Oy, oyvei." The Erech says, "What's wrong?" He keeps saying, "Oyvei, don't worry about it. There's something I'm thinking about I shouldn't think about on Shabbos." After the chicken and the kugel, again he says, "Oy, oyvei, oy, oyvei's mir." The whole Shabbos, he keeps saying oyvei. At the end of Shabbos, after Havdalah, the Erech goes to Reb Chaim and he says, "Look, the whole Shabbos, you look like you're worried about something. You keep saying oyvei. Look, the best thing sometimes you should tell out what's bothering you. Look, I'm only an Erech, but I'd like to hear if maybe I could help." Now, for some reason, maybe because this Erech was a big Talmud Chacham, Reb Chaim said, "Okay, you know what, come into my room, close the door, and I'll tell you what's wrong. I don't know how you could help me, but I might as well tell you what's wrong." He brings the Erech into the room, and he tells him about the lie, the workers of this Reb Chaim at a factory, and they made a big lie against him to the king, like he's a big stealer man, he's stealing money, and really the goyim were stealing the money, they're blaming it on Reb Chaim, and he's got to go to the court, he's got to go to a trial in front of the big judges. The judges did not like the Jews, and if it's the goyim against Reb Chaim, you know who the judge might believe more? Probably the goyim. And they want to send the Jew up to jail, into Siberia, this ice and snow, because the judges did not like, a lot of them did not like Jews. So Reb Chaim was very worried. Reb Chaim was very worried. And he tells the whole thing to the Erech. And now the Erech says, "Listen, I have a secret, and I didn't tell you, and I didn't tell anybody here in Vilna, but I'm going to tell you right now. I am a chassid of the Alter Rebbe." Reb Chaim says, "A chassid? You're a chassid? I thought there's something wrong with chassidim. You seem to be a big Talmud Chacham. You seem to be okay. I heard that there was something wrong with chassidim." And the chassid said, "No, that's wrong. It's not really true. But I think what you should do is you should go to my Rebbe, the Helika Alter Rebbe, and you should ask him for a bracha and ask him what to do, and he could help you." Reb Chaim said, "I should go to the Alter Rebbe? Do you know what the people of Vilna say about the Alter Rebbe?" And the chassid says, "Look, it's not true. Do you want Hashem to help you? Go to the Alter Rebbe." Now Reb Chaim had always heard that nobody should ever go to the Alter Rebbe, or go to Chassidim, or go to even a shul of Chassidim, or go to a Shir Tanya, or anything like that. But there was something about this chassid that he knew that he was a Yerushalayim. He was an Ner L'Chayit. So he thought, maybe I should go to the Alter Rebbe. But then he thought, maybe I shouldn't go to the Alter Rebbe. So he said, "Look, you know what? I was going to go tonight to my friend, Reb Meir Foyles. He's my good friend, and I'm going to ask him what I should do. You wait here, and I'm going to go ask him. If he says yes, I'm going to go with you to the Alter Rebbe tomorrow morning. And if he says no, I'm not going to go to the Alter Rebbe." And so, he goes over now to Reb Meir Foyles, his friend. And he tells him the whole thing. That there's a chassid of the Alter Rebbe that stayed in his house. And all of a sudden, Reb Merifoyles remembers the ma'aseh what happened to him with the Meshuggah lady and her husband. Remember that? And Reb Merifoyles knows that the Alter Rebbe is a Halik at Tzaddik with Ruach HaKodesh. So Reb Chaim says to Reb Merifoyles, should I go to the Alter Rebbe or should I not go to the Alter Rebbe? Now remember, Reb Merifoyles never told even Reb Chaim about the ma'aseh. Everyone thought she's a Meshuggah lady. But now Reb Merifoyles says, you should go to the Alter Rebbe. Go to the Alter Rebbe, and I'm sure that Hashem will help. And Reb Chaim says, why do you say that? He says, don't worry, I know what I'm talking about. Go tomorrow morning to the Alter Rebbe. And so can Allah. The next morning, the Chassid and Reb Chaim left. They go to the Alter Rebbe. But still, Reb Chaim was very not sure if the Alter Rebbe was really a tzaddik or not. And so can Allah, Reb Chaim goes to the Alter Rebbe. And again, he's not exactly sure if it's true what people say, that the Alter Rebbe is not Chas V'Shalom a really big tzaddik, and he's trying to fool everybody like the Misnagdim thought, or he's really a Halik at tzaddik. And so he goes to the Alter Rebbe finally, and he has Yechidus, and he tells the Alter Rebbe the problem that he's got. He's got to go to trial in front of the judges. And the guy made a big lie up, and if the judge believes him, he goes free. But if the judge believes the goyim, which most of the judges are going to believe the goyim and not believe the yid, he's going to have to go work in Siberia in the ice and snow for the rest of his life until he's going to chas v'shalom die over there, and he'll never see his family again. He'll never see his kids again. And of course, he doesn't want this to happen, chas v'shalom. And so can Allah. He told the Alter Rebbe the whole thing. And Reb Chaim tells the Alter Rebbe his problem. And he waits for the Alter Rebbe to give him an answer. And listen to what the Alter Rebbe said, Kenelok. Listen very closely. The Alter Rebbe put his head down on his hands. And he thinks for a while. And he says to Reb Chaim, the kingdom of the world is like the kingdom of the Shemayim. Just like in the kingdom of the world, you're not allowed to say the name of the king. It's not derech eretz to say the name of a king. Instead of saying the name of the king, they call him Kesar. Kesar means the king. Now, the real name of the king of that time was Nikolai. The king of Russia, his name was Nikolai. You're not allowed to say the name of the king and call him, excuse me, Nikolai, this is not derech eretz, it's not covered to the king. You have to call him by another name. You have to call him king. Now, is that his name, king? No. Only you call him king because that's derech eretz for the king. Now, just like it is in the kingdom of the world, you don't say the name of the king. You say a different name. Same thing by Hashem. You don't say the real name of Hashem the way it's written. You change it and you say a different name. Now what's the name of Hashem? Okay, I'm stopping. The name of Hashem is Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. We don't say it like that. We do not say the name of Hashem the way it's written. We say Adoy, and we say the rest. I'm not allowed to say it. We say Adoy, that name of Hashem, instead of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. We change it. How many boys know that we don't say Yud-Kei Vav-Kei? We do not read it that way. We say Ad Hashem, but that's not what's written there. It says in the Siddur Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, but we say Ad Hashem, right? How many boys know that we're changing Hashem's name to be different? So the Alter Rebbe told Reb Chaim, just like by a king of the world, We don't say his real name. We say a different name, and that's covered for the king. The same thing is by Hashem. We don't say Hashem's real name. We say a different name, and that's covered for Hashem. And that's what it means. The kingdom of the world is like the kingdom of the Shemayim. Okay? Do you understand that, Kinalach? This is what the Alter Rebbe explains to Reb Chaim. Now, Kinalach, do you remember what Reb Chaim told the Alter Rebbe? A big problem that he's going to the judges and he might go to jail. What did the Alter Rebbe say to Reb Chaim? He told him a Gemara about kings. Now Reb Chaim thought to himself, what is the Alter Rebbe telling me? It's got nothing to do with my problem that I might have to go to jail. I don't understand this. I don't understand the answer of the Alter Rebbe. He's saying a Gemara, it's got nothing to do with me. And the Alter Rebbe stopped talking. And the Shamish came in and he says, it's time to leave. The Alter Rebbe is done. And Reb Chaim came out. And he was so upset. This Alter Rebbe, it must be like the people of Vilna say, he doesn't know what he's talking about. I tell him blue, he says red. I tell him green, he says pink. I tell him I have to go to jail because of a lie, and he tells me about a king in the Shemayim and a king in the Aretz and a name, a hin and a hair. It must be like the Misnagdim say in Vilna, the Alter Rebbe says things which doesn't make no sense. And now, Kinalach, Reb Chaim went back home very upset. And he felt like nothing happened, worse than nothing happened. And finally, it came time that he had to go to the judge. And the court was far away. He had to go on the train. And he had to take a very long train ride. And finally, he had to go to the judge in the court. And he was so nervous. He was so upset, and he felt like nobody could help him. Of course, Hashem could help. And he davens to Hashem, and he thinks to himself, listen, I know that I have to do something to help myself as much as I can. Besides davening, maybe there's something else also I have to do. And Reb Chaim decided he's got to go to the lawyers. Now the lawyers help you in front of the judge. And he goes to lawyers, and he says, can you help me in front of the judge? And he explains to the lawyers, and the lawyers look at him and they say, you know what? We don't think we're going to help you in front of the judge. The judge is going to send you to the jail for the rest of your life. He's never going to believe you, because your workers have a good story. It looks like you're the liar, and it looks like they're telling the truth. The judge is going to believe them, not you. And he goes to other lawyers, can you help me in front of the judge? And the lawyer says, I'll try, but I don't think you got a chance. The judge is going to send you to jail for the rest of your life. And he went all over looking for the lawyers to help him. Finally, one lawyer said, look, before you go to the judge, I got a better thing than getting a lawyer for you. Maybe you can do such a thing. It's a little bit tricky, but it's your only chance. There's a park that's near the king's palace. And that park has very big gates. And there's guards standing in front of the gates. And they don't let in regular people to the park. The only people that get to go to the park are officers of the king and special people that work in the king's palace. Because the park is right next to the king's palace. It's like a part of the king's gardens. And only big, special officers and generals get to go in this park. Now, every day, the leader of all the judges, he's called the Minister of Justice. He's the officer in charge of all the judges and all the courtrooms. He goes for a walk every day in that park. And he's the boss of the judges. Whatever he says, the judges have to listen. You understand? Maybe you go to him in the park when he's walking. Otherwise, if you go to his office, they'll throw you out. If you go try to see him in his office and you say, look, you have to go to a judge and you want him to help you, he'll say, go to the judge and I'm not going to even see you because you have to go to the judge. He'll throw you out of his office. But maybe when he's walking in the gardens and he's in a good mood, he's looking at the birdies and the trees, maybe if you go and speak to him then, maybe, who knows, maybe he'll listen to you. And Reb Chaim says, but there's guards and there's gates. How do I get into the park? They'll never even let me into the park in the first place. He says, take 20 rubles, take some money, and when nobody's looking, go over to the guard and say to him, look, let me in for 5 minutes into the garden for a little walk, and I'll pay you 20 rubles. And tell him also, he says, for these 20 rubles, tell me when you see the officer of the judges, the officer in charge of the judges, tell me when you see him, I want to just have a few words with him and speak to him for a few minutes and only be in the park for 5 or 10 minutes. And maybe the guard will listen to you and take the money and show you who the officer of the judges is so you can speak to him. That's the only thing that might help you. Otherwise,